Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
It's close to Oz cast, and Dorothy's got you watching lots of Oz. Because this is on Chilling. Oh. Chilling app. Watch Oz cast now. It's on the Chilling.
Dude, I didn't
TV
even think
app.
We should message them. We could probably get a deal.
We could become a we could Chilling. Sponsored by Chilling. Welcome to Ozcast with Dylan and Andre, episode 24.
Special Agent Jack Ozcast.
Jack. I'm Jack Ozcast. And you're watching Ozcast 24. You've got, the whole thing's only going to be 24 minutes long.
You know, another thing we did in that shitty civics class in high school is watch that Kiefer Sutherland TV show
where he
became president.
We watched the first two episodes of Designated Survivor in civics class. Also where we watched The American President.
So cool. Shout out to that teacher who just doesn't know what civics is.
Yeah, civics is like OJ and Designated Survivor.
And then a rom-com.
Speaking of OJ, we might have a little bit of OJ to talk about during Chairs this week. During our favorite segment, Chairs.
Was
our famous
OJ
segment.
Simpson in the latest episode?
No, but Douglas has a strong relation to OJ.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. We'll save it for Chairs.
Okay.
But yeah, so this week we're reviewing the hit movie, in quotes. It's not a movie. The hit
sort of like a
short film?
I guess it's almost like the closest thing I could compare it to is like when an indie game releases a demo to try and get like Steam wish lists.
Yeah, it's like a spec. It's like a spec short film.
Yeah.
For a feature film, which will be coming out this Feb. So keep your eyes peeled. It's called Gale.
Stay away from Oz.
It's called Gale. Get down with your ass.
Why, first of all, we'll obviously get to it more, but the horrible title. Just call it Gale.
Just call it Gale. Or call it Stay Away From Us.
Combining them, stupid.
Yeah. Gale in Oz. Much like the 24th book, Grandpa in Oz.
With King Frumpo.
King Frumpo. His head is blown smooth off.
Blown to smithereens.
Yeah, that one, we really got to get back to the books after Oztober. Again, this is Oztober, everyone, so this is going to be our last spooky Oz thing. And then we're probably going to get back to the books, but maybe we'll do some episodes where there's no more Ozcast, and it's a little bit of Chaircast.
Just what you guys want. A whole other podcast.
And we just talk about the hit Tim Robinson TV show, The Chair Company. I don't know. I feel like that could actually could end up being better. But maybe not. Maybe there's too much lore built around Ozcast already. That we can't say goodbye to this.
give a fuck, but I think a siphon is enough.
Andre's down on share cats. He loves Oz too much. He loves watching Gale stay away from Oz.
I just think it would be incomprehensible to anybody interested in either one if someone's a chair company head, if they're like, I have to go through this Oz podcast. I have to listen to
25 episodes. But yeah, 24, big milestone, 24 hours in a day. You know, if you know, you listen,
I think you can rent a car at 24.
If you listen, if each episode was perfectly 1 hour long,
which they're not,
they
get substantially longer.
But if they each were, you could, there's almost a whole day's worth of Oscars.
Isn't the Lost Girls episode like 3 hours?
Yes, it's 2 hours, 30 minutes, which is nuts. Crazy. That episode got way out of control.
How did that happen?
I feel like that, because we had two guests on that one.
Right, we had Nick and AJ, but yeah. I don't even think we went, like, I don't think we spent that much time on any part of it. Like, I don't know why it was so long.
It just was so long, because there was a lot to talk about. Yeah. Yep, 2 hours, 17 minutes. I mean, we talked about Boogie Nights for 15 minutes in the middle of that.
So. Right, sure.
Well, yeah, so, you know what? This is what we're talking about this week. This is a state of the pod right now. We're figuring some stuff out, but
after Dylan's figuring out his sexuality,
I know what it is. I'm an Oz.
Ozsexual.
I'm Ozsexual. But yeah, let's break into some Oz news.
Wow.
First bit of news. Last week we talked about there's a secret celebrity playing the Cowardly Lion in Wicked Part 2 for good.
I forgot who it was. it's like Thurgood Marshall.
No, it's not. And it's not Thurgood Marshall. Contrary to what most people believe. But yeah.
Quanto Domingo?
Coleman Domingo will be playing the Cowardly Lion. Wow. From Sing Sing. He's in Rustin. He's in Euphoria. He's gonna be in the Running Man movie, which comes out in like a week. I like Coleman Domingo. He's good and stuff.
I don't know anything about him. I the one thing I know about him is one time my girlfriend went to see The Color Purple, and he was in the theater and his family, and they're like, "You were so good at playing that evil man in that movie."
Interesting.
I don't know anything about The Color Purple, but I guess he played like a rapist or something.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know too much about The Color Purple. Why was Spielberg on that?
I feel like it wasn't
his story. I don't know.
I feel like it's a book, like, right? Yeah, I think it's, isn't it like an Oprah thing? Or
Oprah's in the new one? Directed the new one?
I think she was in the old one?
Coleman Domingo is in something called Euphoria Fuck Anyone Who's Not a C-Blob.
Oh, I do know.
What is this?
That Euphoria did like these like 50-minute like movies kind of. This was like around Christmas one year.
Merry Christmas.
It's kind of like when Futurama had that one season that was just like 8 like movies. Yeah. Was that a fart? What just happened? It was like a wet, gross like in this room. Oh,
that happens like once every 3 episodes. He was in. All right, I'm getting distracted by Coleman Domingo, but Coleman Domingo is playing the Cowardly Lion. Basically, you know, John Chu is like, yeah, I'm not telling who it is until the movie comes out, and then the next day was like, it's Coleman Domingo. Coleman Domingo will be playing the Cowardly Lion. I don't know why he did that.
I don't know. Coleman Domingo also, maybe he is a big name for people?
Didn't he get nominated for Sing Sing? Am I making that up?
Maybe. I don't know. He seems like he's not nobody, but like, I don't know. I guess there probably are Domingo heads.
Yeah, there are, especially now. People are always like, what's Domingo doing? And I'm not talking about freaking SNL.
Right.
You know that guy?
Yeah. You know, yeah. I do know that guy.
He's nominated for 2 Academy Awards, 2 Tonys, and he's Time named him one of the most 100 influential people in the world.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Damn, I'm behind on Domingo. I didn't realize he was popping off.
And he's like wearing some Napoleon gear.
Yeah, he's wearing like epaulettes on his shoulders.
Yeah, he's about to storm the battlefield. He went to Temple, much like one of the hosts of the pod.
Darlene.
Did she go to... I gotta cut that out. All right, I'm out of here. I'm on to other news, other Oz news. Let's stay on Wicked for a second here. John M. Chu explains why Wicked for Good won't show Dorothy's face. He says, I didn't want to step on who you think Dorothy is and whatever story you came into this with. This is Elphaba and Glinda's journey, and Dorothy is a pawn in the middle of it all.
Right.
So right. For all you chess heads out there, a pawn is the weakest.
The strongest one.
Yes, true. Not many people know this, but the weakest one is actually the rook.
God, I remember being a smart little kid fucking sucks dick, dude. I remember one year for Christmas, my uncle was like, "You're really smart. I got you a chess set." I was like, "What the fuck? What are you talking about?
You're smart.
Get me video games."
Yeah, like the game Shotgun King, where it's chess, but you play as the king and you have a gun.
Yeah. Like,
did you play that game?
I saw a YouTuber play it. I have not played it.
What YouTuber is it? Markiplier?
It was
PewDiePie? Andre loves PewDiePie and Markiplier.
PewDiePie!
What is that?
That's what he says, right? Isn't it?
I don't know. I never watched him.
I haven't watched him in ever.
I never watched him.
I watched that one South Park episode he was on, and he did that.
So. Oh my god. While I was at work, they kept bringing up South Park stuff. And I was like, you guys are in your 40s.
That's the target demo.
I know. Man. We were also in Salt Lake City. Have you seen Book of Mormon ever?
No, but yeah.
They do like a whole bit about Salt Lake City, and I was in Salt Lake City, and they were going, Salt Lake City.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize, maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Is that the bit?
That's like
is
what they say. Like,
Swedish?
No, they're like African. They're in Africa.
That's in okay.
But they're like, the Holy Land, Salt Lake City. Maybe it's not Salt Lake City. Maybe it's a little different in the play.
Flagstaff. Arizona.
No, it is the city, but I'm pronouncing it differently from how they pronounce it in the play.
This is good radio.
Hey, Toots, welcome to radio. I feel like I've got a voice for radio.
Ziva Life, buy it.
Yeah. Or else.
Use code OzCast. Let's get them all in. Ziva Life, Gold Glory, Aspire Energy.
Oh, you don't remember the last one.
Good Feels Cannabis Seltzer.
And that's all the ads.
Got it.
Wicked, more Wicked news. Wicked will deliver magic to the box office with Spellbinding 112 to 115 million opening. That's a lot of cheddar cheese, but you know what? Not as much as Ozcast is making.
We're making trillions. We're actually sponsored by the State of Israel.
And by BlackRock.
We're COINTELPRO. We're like Operation Free Europe.
Operation Free Lunch.
Radio Express. Free Liberty.
All right. There was Wicked Dancing with the Stars. And they did Dancing Through Life from Wicked.
If you could dance with one star, which one would you choose?
Gloria Estefan.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what she looks like or really who she is, but I know the name. And I feel like she would be a good dancer. Is she alive?
I would choose...
She's 68 and she's hot as hell.
Wow. Who is she? I just know her name. I don't know what she does.
She's doing the conga. Yeah. I don't know. She won the Medal of Freedom?
I would dance with Andy Serkis and embarrass him.
I'd dance with Andy Kaufman.
Oh. Do the Mighty Mouse thing that kills.
Yeah, that goes viral.
I'm sorry. I know people really like Andy Kaufman, but he's one of those guys like fucking like Lenny Bruce or anything, where anytime I try to get into their shit, I'm just like, this stinks.
No, have you seen Andy Kaufman wrestling women, though?
Yeah.
That one's good.
That's okay, but the Mighty Mouse thing pisses me off.
I get it, because it was of the time. It was of the time that nobody had done jokes before.
Jokes were singing a song. Pretending to sing a song.
Yeah, I don't get the Mighty Mouse bit exactly, but I do like the wrestling women bit. I think it's really funny. I'm from Hollywood.
Holly Weird.
Oh, it is Holly Weird. Anyway, they did Dancing with the Stars, and Steve Irwin's son did Dancing Through Life with another lady, Whitney Carson, who is a dancer.
Great.
This thus ends Oz News.
Somehow 15 minutes in. Talked about fucking nothing. Basically shat into a mic for 15 minutes.
The pod is going very well.
What's next?
Bad luck, Brian.
I don't... Do we still do that?
Oh my god. No, we don't. Did you have something for State of the Reddit?
There was a woman in a wheelchair. It's a picture of a woman in a wheelchair dressed as...
With the whole house on top of
it. Dressed as, like, the house smashing the Wicked Witch of the East.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, great costume. You can't see her face at all. Like,
it looks so bad. Oh, man. It was so funny.
So that's what the Reddit is.
And she came in third place, and people were upset about it. They were like, "Why? Who got first?" And she was like, "A whole family dressed like Despicable Me, I think."
Right.
And I was like, "That's cute. They probably deserved it."
Why didn't you give it to the 45-year-old house?
I'm a woman. I'm a house. She had the red stockings on, so she looked like the Wicked Witch of the East getting crushed by the house.
Yeah.
I bought a Halloween costume today while we were watching this movie, which was called...
The Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia.
Gale?
Oh, the movie. I thought you meant your costume.
No, I meant the movie.
Yeah, Gale, stay with Gale, Oz.
Stay away from Oz. And I don't think either of us took notes.
No.
So it's going to be...
28 minutes, folks.
And you know what? We're going to be quick. This might be a quick app.
Yeah, sure. 17 minutes in. Let's go ahead and get into Gale.
Gale. So the movie is streaming on an app called Chilling.
So if you guys are thinking, what the fuck is that? It's you may be aware of the horror streaming app Shudder. Imagine Shudder if it didn't work at all and it had a bunch of AI content on it.
And no movies.
And, yeah.
And all the posters for everything. Like, the posters are how Netflix does it, where it's, like, it's horizontal. But the posters are loaded in, like, vertical, like regular posters. So they're just cropped out to, like, the center of them. And you can't see what anything is while scrolling the homepage of Chilling. Chilling app. Now on Roku. And the icon is a little moon with a skull in it. Like a crescent moon with a skull coming out of it.
Yeah. I just don't understand what the fuck this is.
Man. Yeah, I have no idea.
Also, this is a...
This is the premiere movie this on movie Chilling.
This movie came out in 2023, and it's still, like, the first thing when you open up the app.
Yeah, it was this, and then you scrolled through, like, some, like, garbage, and then they have the Halloween... Like
Michael... Halloween like the original Halloween, yeah.
Which, I don't know how they got... I don't know who's...
I don't know who's giving them those rights. John Carpenter is fucking on panels talking about video games right now.
Yeah, but you know what? Maybe it's the kind of thing, like, Carpenter holds, like, unlimited rights to Halloween.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, selling them to everyone. I don't know. Yeah, so it's on Chilling, and then the movie starts up, and it's Dorothy.
She's in like,
no,
a
it's not Dorothy.
Or it's right. We
it's
should.
A, you think
gonna,
it's Dorothy?
We're gonna accidentally call her Dorothy a lot. It's Emily.
It's Emily. Is walking through like a hallway.
Yeah, she's like wakes up and she's in like a rocking chair,
and
in
then
a room.
She's like, "Where am I?"
Yeah.
And she, like, walks around, and then, like, a scary
guy leans up next to her and says, Gale.
Gale! And then she wakes up, and she's in her therapist's office, and her therapist is like, so what's going on with these dreams? And she's like, I don't even know a Dorothy. I'm Emily. Emily Gale. And that's the first twist of the movie.
Right, that she isn't
Dorothy. You think she's Dorothy, because the movie's called Gale. And I just called it Dorothy every time we talked about it.
Yep.
But she's actually Emily, short for, which is...
Emily's short
long,
for...
It's long. It's long for M. And eagle-eyed viewers will remember Dorothy's aunt is named Aunt M.
Yeah.
So is she Dorothy's aunt in this?
Well, no, because Dorothy is her grandmother.
Dorothy is her grandmother.
So I almost feel like they forgot Aunt Em was a character and just chose a generic name.
Yes.
And it happened to be Emily.
Unless her Dorothy's daughter named her daughter after her great aunt.
I don't know.
Not explained. So then Emily goes to her house and is like, there's so much freaking the lights are flickering.
Yeah.
And then she finds a box that says, like...
Mom's things.
And she is flipping through this journal where there's lots of, like, creepy writing and drawing. Which I guess was her mom's journal?
That was another thing. I couldn't tell if it was supposed to be her mom's or if it was supposed to be Dorothy's.
Yeah. But then Dorothy just gets... Not Dorothy. Emily just gets to the back of the book. And there's a drawing of a scary face that says Mombi on it also. Yeah. And I was like, dude, they're doing Mombi stuff in here. And then the back of the journal has a, like, just says Dorothy with a phone number.
That is so fucking stupid.
And she calls it, and then the other line is like, who is this? This is the Gale estate. And then M is like, I'm Emily Gale. And they're like, come to our house. And then... There's, like, a nice receptionist at the house. It's, like, you know, like, a pretty big estate when Emily gets there. And then the lady who I don't know if she had a name.
I know she didn't.
We'll call her receptionist lady. Is, like, Dorothy is an old lady. She was famous once.
That's another thing that I don't fucking understand at all. She's, like, her stories were sold all over the world. So I don't know if the implication is supposed to be that, like...
Have you ever had a moment where you think... Man, someone should really do something about this. Then you realize, maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
In this universe, like, Dorothy had these dreams that she then turned into, like, the Wizard of Oz, like, franchise.
Yeah, she probably just wrote Grandpa in Oz. She probably just wrote about Lord Fumpo.
But also, it doesn't make any fucking sense because Emily has also never heard of this person who is her grandma. She would surely know. Maybe she might not know it's her grandma, but if this person was, like, a world-famous author, she would maybe at least have heard of her.
Yeah, I guess it's, like, maybe she was only famous in the 50s or the 60s.
I don't know.
But, like...
Stupid.
But, like, also the fact that, like, she... It never came up that she was like, I don't know my family lineage.
Yeah, yeah.
The therapist kept saying stuff like, you gotta find out what happened with your mom.
Yeah, she's like, stop blaming yourself for your mom's death.
Yeah.
I guess, so apparently she like moved away from Kansas and then her mom died.
Can't do that. Your mom will die.
Dylan just went to Kansas and his mom's fine.
My mom's fine. She got a new job.
Woo!
Congrats, mom. But yeah, then, okay, so then the receptionist is like, go see Dorothy. And she goes up to Dorothy's room and Dorothy's an old lady and she's just like sitting there. And Emily keeps being like, do you know me? Do you know who I am? Right. Do you know my mom?
But also, the room Dorothy is in is the room she had the dream in.
That's true.
At the start.
And then Dorothy's not saying anything, and then she's just like, stay away from Oz. Yeah. And then she keeps clicking her heels, and they're
and then
like,
she disappears.
Yeah, but then they're like, no, she can't click her heels. She'll click them until she bleeds. And then, so then they like grab her and like pull her away, and then she goes back to having like a handful of more like scary things happen to her.
Yeah, so yeah, like after the Dorothy thing, she goes back to her therapist, and her therapist is, like, acting weird.
Yeah, I think she has a couple more dreams or something that I completely zoned out during.
Remember.
I was buying a monkey mask on Amazon.
Yeah, it's important. But, yeah, she goes back to her, and her therapist has, like, bags under her eyes and shit, and then basically her therapist is like, I'm the fucking Wicked Witch, bozo.
Yeah, and
give me your
she's
slippers.
Like, I need the slippers because your grandmother banished me from Oz.
Yeah.
And Emily is like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, Emily, again, by this point, has no clue what Oz is.
No.
Has no memory of the 1939 classic movie, has never read the books. Never even found, like, one of her grandmother's books
also,
and started reading it.
Maybe I zoned out, but I don't even think we ever saw her, like, get the slippers. Like, I think she just had them on from the start,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, I think she starts dreaming with them on.
I don't know.
I don't know. But, so then she runs away, and then a wheeler shows up. Oh, no, she sees a flying monkey.
Oh, right, right, yeah, she sees, like...
That's what happens. After she sees Dorothy, we were both zoned out, and she sees a flying monkey, and then it's, like, she wakes up, and she's like, what the hell?
And then she looks at the journal, and there's a picture of a flying monkey.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, my God. And that's when the therapist is like, yeah, by the way, I'm evil. By the way, I am evil.
But yeah, then after the therapist stuff, a wheeler does chase her. I thought the wheeler had a beehive haircut.
It does.
It was supposed to be his, like, mask, but it looks like he's got, like, a 50s style beehive.
Yeah, which is strange, because the wheeler also just, like, walks over to Emily, does nothing.
Yeah, kind of just hovers over her, obviously, because he's on fucking wheels, so he can't do anything to her. He's just kind of, like, on top of her, and then she clicks her heels 3 times and gets summoned back to her house, I think.
Yeah, and then she's in her house, and then the witch is there.
Yeah, then the therapist witch is behind her, and she's like, I'm still here. And then she looks at the journal, and the journal is like, click your heels, which also didn't fucking make sense, because she's already done that.
Yeah, and she also watched Dorothy do that a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Oh, they also said, like, Dorothy's been writing... 2 months ago, she started writing a bunch more shit.
Yeah.
But we never see what it is.
I think it was supposed to... Yeah, they don't actually show it, but I think the implication is that it's just pages of stay away from, a Shining style.
Yeah.
Just, like, repetition thing.
All Oz and no play makes Dorothy a happy Oz.
But, yeah, so after she clicks her heels to get away from the witch, she ends up in, like, a mountain valley and she's wearing, like, a white... It's supposed to just be a white dress, but
it is a wedding dress.
And
you know the receptionist is there.
I guess, like, Dylan mentioned this, I guess the receptionist is supposed to be Glinda.
Something like that, I guess.
But, like, I didn't really think she was gonna be a big part of this. She seemed nice, I guess. She didn't seem evil, but she was just kind of like a normal lady when they met, and now they're like, actually, she's her guardian angel.
Was the guy with the wheelchair supposed to be a wheeler?
I think the guy...
There's a guy who's, like, bringing Dorothy a wheelchair at one point.
I think that was supposed to be the scary guy from the beginning, but I also don't know if the scary guy from the beginning is also supposed to be the wheeler or not.
He doesn't even really wheel around.
No. But yeah, so she goes to Oz technically, and
it's just a big mountain.
Yeah, there's nothing fucking there. And
there's a moon. There's a crescent moon. Chilling reference.
And the receptionist lady is like, Emily is asking the receptionist lady. She's like, "What the fuck was the deal with my therapist?" And she's like, "That was Mombi, the evil witch, the servant of the Gnome King."
And then Emily's like, "Uh-huh."
He had no questions about that.
All right.
No reservations. Just like, oh, okay, servant of the gnome.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. And then the receptionist is like, "Dorothy, I have a lot to teach you." Or Emily, who's not Dorothy.
Right.
And then they like,
and then they walk
away
off,
hand in hand.
Yeah, and then it ends.
And then it says, "To be continued." So that's the whole movie.
This podcast is officially longer than Gale. Stay away from Oz.
Just cross the Gale line.
Just cross the Maginot line.
I guess we'll go straight into it. Osberg.
Yeah. This is definitely like a weird thing, but it's a weirdly large amount of people.
Four?
I've seen this. Yeah, four, I think.
Four on the Berg?
But I want to make it clear that this isn't, like, easy to find, which is also, it's surprising to me how many people have found this. Like, it's not like it's just on YouTube.
Yeah.
Or, like, Tubi or some shit. You have to go on Chilling.
You have to go on Chilling.
And you can't, Chilling isn't free. We had to get a free trial subscription of fucking Chilling. And it's an awful UI and it's hard to navigate. So I don't know why so many people have seen this.
But it's got 30 reviews on Letterboxd.
Oh, so. Really? That's not that many for Letterboxd, but it seems like a lot of people on, like, Reddit and, like, IMDb and
yeah,
shit.
I feel like it has more reviews on stuff that's not Letterboxd.
Yeah.
I
think a lot of people also don't really do short films on Letterboxd.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, like, Spanish reviews on here.
Like anytime you go on, like, a horror thing, especially bad horror shit like this, there is always a Brazilian guy who's like, "Mucho good."
We'll see how much of that stays in. But, yeah, so four on the Osberg. It's time to feed Demita.
Wow, we are making great time.
Yeah, we're doing good. I told you. We'll hit a quick app.
Great.
And it's good because I got to get this out tomorrow for Halloween.
Right.
Oztober.
Oz or treat.
That's a new segment. Oz or treat.
What would the segment be?
I don't know.
Go find some candy. We're eating candy. That's just Oz or treat.
Treat.
Why are you Googling it like something's going to come up? Like, the segment's already gonna be there. He's gonna be like, "Well, let's just see what the segment is."
I don't know. I thought maybe it would give me ideas.
He's gonna. What the AI is saying about Oz or treat? Well, what does Grunk say?
Wizard Oz or treat is a reference to a game or event. Likely a Halloween-themed trick-or-treat event involving a Wizard of Oz theme. It is not a standard phrase. Well, yeah, we can eat some candy. We could come back. I could go get some candy when I get the gift or okay. Something. All right. So, feed Demita?
Sure.
Donkey? Mita?
None. Zero.
Zip. Bimetallism meter?
Zip. There's the... Yeah, none.
Zip. Nausea meter?
Two? Yeah, sure. It doesn't look egregious, I will say that.
No, it looks like a normal short film, which is nice. You know, all the editing and stuff, I was fine.
It's fine. Yeah. Like, what I will say is, it reminded me a lot of, like, a pretty good, like, fan film you'll see on YouTube.
Yeah, it's just really boring and nothing happens in it at all.
Like, if this was, again, on YouTube and it was just some fucking guy making it, I'd be like, that was surprisingly competent, but it's like backed by a fucking streaming service.
It's on chilling. You know, how do you think it stacks up to Daily Life's Wizard of Oz YouTube series?
certainly more money, I guess, but I definitely had a better time watching Daily Life.
I kind of like Daily Life more. Yeah. Maybe that could be our new segment, like Oz Showdown.
Oh,
we have to compare head to head with something we've looked at before.
Yeah.
I feel like that'll last longer than Oz or Treat.
Yeah.
Where we have to eat candy.
Oz Showdown, episode 1, Daily Life versus Gale.
All right. Gale, you're getting...
Daily Life wins.
Yeah, Daily Life wins. Is that the whole, thing?
We could get him depth, I guess.
First of all, Dorothy is an old lady in this. Boo! Dorothy's young!
Yeah. I like Daily Life, too, because...
Daily Life showed a little bit of love and heart.
It had a... Yeah, it had a father commanding his children.
It had a blooper reel where he was talking to a young Hispanic woman who he had no relation to, dude, and wasn't in the movie, and bossing her around.
That was the... Because I remember during that part, he's like, "You really want to be in this movie, huh?" And then he doesn't put her in.
Oh, you want to be in my movie? And I'm like, this is a 10-part YouTube series. This is actually not a movie. Oh, boy.
Daily Life wins.
Daily Life. Daily Life wins.
Fatality.
Fatality to Gale.
What is the next meter?
Disrespect meter.
I'm going to go high on this. I'm going to go 4.
4 out of 5 for disrespect. It's very disrespectful, I will say.
Yeah, it's also...
It just doesn't feel like
It's doing the same thing that pissed me off about Yellow Brick Road, where it's just attaching Oz for no real reason.
Yeah.
Like, this is basically just a standard, like, dumb, like, ghost thing.
Yeah. The lights flicker, she has bad dreams, there's this creepy old lady. I mean, nothing in this is original.
No, I was gonna say, have you ever heard of, Alice, American McGee's Alice?
I don't think so. I know the John Svankmajer version. But...
It's like a video game where it's basically like Alice from Alice in Wonderland is like insane. It's the same exact fucking plot as that. Like even down to the family shit. Like in that game, like Alice like kills her family in a house fire and she's like haunted by them. It's the same fucking plot points, but just with, again, not Dorothy, but Dorothy.
I'm sick of this shit.
Yeah.
Like, the most inventive part of this is when he, like, you'll see in people's reactions when they're like, the Wheeler showed up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's just another thing.
Like, not only is it from the book, like, they're almost the exact same design as Return from Oz.
And it's not using it inventively at all. It's just like, what if he was there?
Yeah.
And I'm not scared of that because I know what that is.
And also, I think that's another thing is all of the people who like this are like, this is such a great continuation of the creepiness of Return to Oz. But that didn't work for us because we didn't think Return to Oz was creepy. We just thought it was fucking boring.
Yeah. And even if I did like Return to Oz, I wouldn't like this. Because I would feel like it was disrespectful.
Yeah.
Because it just uses the iconography of it to score easy points without doing anything with it.
I'm almost surprised. Again, I'm very surprised that this is, like, an official real thing and not a fan thing. Like, how do they get the rights to fucking using, like, creepy over the rainbow in that trailer? Like, it's almost the exact same fucking Wheeler thing from Return to Oz. I guess no one cares enough to, like... Sue Chilling for this dumb little short
like
movie.
The trailer had like 400 views.
Yeah, but like
more than little more than Ozcast, but not as much as Ozcast Live.
Live from Toronto.
We're gonna do a live show.
Yeah, we're booking MSG.
We're opening for Sabrina Carpenter at MSG.
Next time that Trump has an MSG rally, we'll be the opener, like Tony Hinchcliffe.
Hey guys,
fucking Puerto Ricans are dirty.
Are you listening to Ozcast?
Anyway, here's the president.
Here's the president of the United States of America. We were on the money laundering meter.
I would say medium because I'm like, yeah, there's not any effort and it's morally bankrupt, but I also feel like this probably has made $0.
Yeah, so maybe like a 2. Sure. Like, I'm sure somebody made some money off it.
Yeah.
But likely it was the Chilling guys.
Yeah. The Chilling brothers.
The Chilling Brothers. The Chilling Brothers, who invented the Chilling streaming service, made off like madmen. Pride Meter?
I don't think there's anything here, really. There's not a lot of men. Maybe you can give it a...
It does pass the Bechdel test.
Yeah, it's pretty much
so
all
it gets
women.
A one. Okay. It gets a one because it passes Alison Bechdel's regrettable test that she regrets that she invented. Muppet Meter? No, well, there's the flying monkey.
He doesn't really look... Actually, you know what? I will say, before he's fully revealed, when we thought he was the Cowardly Lion, he did have a little bit of a Muppety look.
Yeah, so I give it a one.
One, yeah.
Accent Meter?
Emily has this peculiar accent.
Everyone in these movies, in this one and Yellow Brick Road, is doing, like, an implaceable accent.
Yellow Brick Road's accents were bad, but also I understood why they were doing them. They're like, it's in New England, let's make them sound like they're from
I'm on
New
Yellow
England.
Brick Road.
Yeah, it sounded terrible, but at least I got... They were trying to fucking make it seem like it was in
I'm
its
I'm from
setting.
New Hampshire.
But Emily has this... I don't even know how to describe it. It's like...
I'm an Oz? Like, something like that.
I don't know if she was, like, a British actress trying to do an American
She's dropping
thing
letters
or
at the end of words,
but yeah,
is what it is.
It's very bad. I'm gonna go... But that's also the only accent, so I guess I'll go three.
Yeah, sure. Good Meter...
One.
Nuff said. Blue mess me. Ah.
Zero.
No, blue. There was an old lady in this, but I don't think we ever
no.
see. Look, you know what has a little upskirt? Is chairs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a
little
trip.
Upskirt action. That we'll get to. We'll get to
me.
It.
I wish I could see those thick old thighs slapping around.
In the new ep, when she has the green, she has a mistake man on and she covers it up.
So good.
So good. Tween me a...
Two,
a tween could...
Well, yeah, this
is like low-key made for TikTok.
I was
going to
say,
ways.
It has a little bit of a tinge of young adult novel
yeah.
in it.
Funny Meter?
Again, funny to laugh at, not actually supposed to be funny.
One and a half.
Sure.
Horny Meter? Nothing horny.
Surprisingly not very horny, yeah.
Zero, I guess. Foolish Meter? Yeah.
It's quite a foolish film.
It's foolish to make this.
Yes.
One?
One.
ESRB rating?
This would probably be a
it's probably T for teen.
Yeah, T for teen.
T for teen. Bubble me? Were there any bubbles in this? Did she
no.
even take a bath or anything?
We don't even really get confirmation that lady's supposed to be Glenda. So
yeah. Another zero on the bubbles. Weight meter.
So if we go by BoardGameGeek.com's weight meter.
Is this... This is a...
I will say this was quite complex to get to.
Yeah, that's... You know, it is a little difficult. It's not long once you get to it. But it's a little difficult to get there.
And the movie itself is quite confusing and hard to follow exactly how it fits into Oz and what...
I would give it an 8.1 on the weight meter.
That sounds good to me.
It's a heavy movie. Twisted Meter.
Oh, this is definitely...
It's quite twisted.
I would say it's definitely not as twisted as McFarlane's.
Yeah, it's
toys,
not like the wizard was blowing goop everywhere.
Yeah, but
four? Yeah. Tubi Meter?
This is
five.
I'm
this belongs on Tubi.
Genuinely shocked it's not on Tubi.
5 out of 5 on Tubi Meter. And a new meter for our wonderful movie. We're going to do the Chilling
Meter. The Chilling Meter. I guess that's kind of somewhat... No, because this is how spooky something
yeah,
is, not
is,
how much it belongs on the Chilling.
Is it spooky in its own right? Or no, should we do does it belong in the Chilling
Meter? No, because it's the same. I feel like anything that belongs on Tubi also probably belongs on Chilling and vice versa.
Chilling. Are you chilled to the bone?
I'm going to, you know, even though this is the first installation of the Chilling Meter, I'm only going to give this like a 2. It's not very scary.
Not chilling enough for me. Just wait till we watch Lake Mungo.
And the famed spiritual successor, Shelby Oaks.
Did you see Shelby Oaks?
No, I didn't know it was out yet.
Yeah, it was out. I was talking about taking my dad to see it last night, and then I was like, I looked at reviews and I was like,
I think I'm gonna wait for that to get onto Safari again. Wait for that to get onto old HBO Max.
Yeah, and then I was like, let's go see Black Phone 2 instead. Which was fine. We got a 5 on the 0 meter.
Yeah.
It's looking good. Let's go into our blam, 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 blam.
Dratch hour.
Let the dratch hour commence. Ents. So what's been Rachel Dratch up to today?
Dude, Dratch is killing it lately. I feel like we're saying this every week, but recently she just got a write-up in the New Yorker about her podcast Woo Woo.
Ooh!
She's talking about how the podcast is about, like, crystals and fucking bullshit. But, yeah, I'm, like, kind of fucking ecstatic for
Should
Dratch.
Should we try to get on Woo Woo?
We gotta get into crystals, I guess, but...
I'll get on. I don't care. I'll do it. I got crystals. We could do Tales of the Unexplained and Eerie. That's what it's called. I don't know.
What if we go on an episode about the Jersey Devil as the resident New Jersey expert?
Yeah, and I did a documentary about the Jersey Devil.
I burped a bunch. Yeah, that was good. I've seen that.
Yeah, my Jersey Devil documentary actually played in the Jersey Devil Film Festival.
That's great.
I don't know if I...
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. Yeah, so
Pine Barrens, it sucks.
The episode of Sopranos?
No,
sucks?
The movie.
I'm surprised that you said Sopranos sucks. You famously like Sopranos.
I'm talking about the movie Pine Barrens. I love Sopranos.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. I don't like to watch a lot of Jersey
Fucking
Devil stuff
because
it's usually all bad. I did watch the episode of X-Files where they find the Jersey Devil, but it's like a guy who can like transform into a big goat.
I don't know why people keep doing that and shit. I love The Wolf Among Us. It's a very great game, but one part of that, they have the Jersey Devil as a character, and he's just, like, a pimp. I'm like, what are we doing?
Huh.
The Jersey Devil's like a fucking horse-faced demon.
Have you read Fables?
No, I still gotta read Fables.
Dude, Fables is so good. Shout out to Bill Willingham for creating the book that Wolf Among Us is based on.
Yep.
Dratch is doing woo-woo. She got a write-up in the New Yorker, and it wasn't even by us, and they didn't even reach out for comment, which is weird.
It's a little journalistic malpractice.
I just feel like it's weird. I was reading about some journalists who got, like, fired, and there was one who got her Pulitzer Prize taken away because she was writing she wrote this story about a boy named Jimmy called Jimmy's World, and it was about, like, a little 8-year-old heroin addict.
Mm. I was reading a story about some journalists who got murdered by the Saudi Arabian government at the hands of your brother.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know he was doing that right now. But yeah, Jimmy's World.
Jimmy Eats World.
No,
no.
It was by an author named Janet Cook. She had to give back her Pulitzer Prize.
Was it fake?
Yeah, it was a fake.
Oh.
She made up the story, and then she was like, there was no 8-year-old boy doing heroin, but there could have been, and that says just enough about the world we live in. And they were like, all right, give your Pulitzer Prize
back. That's crazy, because you could easily find a little boy doing heroin.
Yeah, but you have to...
I'm saying it makes sense that they gave it, that they were like, bring it back. I'm saying it's crazy for her to lie about that. Just go and find the 8-year-old boy.
The mayor was like, we're going to find the boy.
Yeah.
He was like, we're doing a citywide manhunt for Jimmy. And then they were like, where is she? Where is Jimmy? And she was like, I don't know, he must have died. And they were like, he died? And then that was when she was like, no, I made it up.
That's genuinely like, not to do more fucking Tim Robbins and stuff, but that's genuinely the sketch where he's like, yeah, the babysitter died in a car crash. Fucking babysitter got in a car crash, killed a homeless guy, made us late to the party.
Sorry, my babysitter freaking ran over someone. It's like, do you need to leave? It's like, no.
The guy she kills was just like, no.
He was nothing. That's Tim Robinson. Gotta love him. That story I told you about, that guy with the tomato story.
Dude.
Oh my word. All right, I'll tell the story. So this guy, one of the guys we were interviewing for the show I was working on, I'm driving him around, and he starts telling me this story, and he goes, I was presenting in Miami to a bunch of CPAs, and I figured I'd open the conference with a little joke. So I go up on stage, and I say, you know, knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit, but wisdom is knowing not to put a tomato in a fruit salad. Which, you know, I've heard 1,000 times before, and it's not funny anyway. But whatever. It's a joke to start a CPA conference. And then he goes, and everyone at the conference starts booing me. And they're all mad at me, and they're all booing, and I can't, they won't let me speak. They won't let me say anything else. And somebody comes running up to the stage with a piece of paper and hands it to me. And he makes me read it in front of the entire conference. And it says Nix v. Hedden, which was a court case which the Supreme Court heard in the 1800s, which declared a tomato was a vegetable for purposes of common commerce. And they made him read that out in front of the conference. And then when he read it, everybody cheered. And because justice had been served. So that was the story that this guy told. And I was like, wow, that's an incredibly embarrassing story. Why would you tell me that?
Also, just like, it's embarrassing in the way like a Kafka story is embarrassing, where you just feel like you're going like insane while it's happening.
Like, yeah, I was like, this can't be true. Like, what do you mean? That ends that.
Portion. That was a story.
What were we doing, Dratch Hour?
I think we just wrapped up Dratch. And,
yeah, let's do Osmonds.
Okay,
yeah. And I'm not talking about Donnie.
Great.
Because I saw him on an ad in Salt Lake City. There was an ad in Salt Lake City that just said, Donnie is coming, with a picture of Donnie Osmond.
Is he still like I guess he is. I feel like anyone who knows or cares about the Osmonds is long gone.
Is Mormon?
Are the Osmonds Mormon?
I don't know. Couldn't tell you. All right. Let's look at some Osmonds. I got a lot of IMDb reviews here. Created an account just to give this a review. I'm a huge fan of the Bomb books and the Return to Oz film. I haven't even bothered to watch the 2013 film. So I think my opinion holds some weight. Maybe put it in the weight meter then, pal. The short film runtime of 28 minutes... feels like a bunch of horror tropes strung together with Oz theming. There is the makings of a great story here, but it needed more work. You don't need all the creepy music and flashing lights. The Oz universe is already creepy.
Right.
Yep, sure.
Taylor says it was garbage and short as hell. What were they thinking? I hate when a short film is short. They should make long.
This guy says it's only 27 minutes. You get going and then it's to be continued. So far it's got potential. Definitely a pet project, not a major motion picture production. Blah, blah, blah. I just hope that it's all finished and it'll just be released in small chunks. Then he says, this will be a great lunch break video if when we get more.
A great lunch break
video.
What are you doing? Hey, what are you doing on lunch?
Watching Gale.
Fletcherella says, brilliant for what it was. They could make brilliant movies from this idea. Or better again, a fantastic series. Oz has so much to give for mental horror.
So true. This guy says, this is my inaugural review, but I've been eagerly anticipating this film for over a year. And it did not let me down. I just wished it was longer. The world they built, the dreamy atmosphere, all of it has a unique allure. My favorite moment, spoiler alert, was the reappearance of the Wheelers. And the climactic revelations that beautifully transition the tone.
I'm sorry, Wheelers or Reddit? If you're a Return to Oz guy, you're Reddit. Speaking of Reddit, Gizmo Swan on Reddit says, I downloaded the Chilling app and can't find it. What am I doing wrong?
I got another good one about the Chilling app. This is 10 out of 10. Amazing. For a start, it drew me in. I subscribed to the Chilling app a month ago just for this show. Now waiting still to see more of it. Was hoping when the app said now streaming, it meant I could watch more than one episode over again.
Is he still subscribed to unsubscribe from Chilling?
I love that it is staying based on the original Oz movie, which I've watched since the 1970s. I always hoped it would take a sinister twist, and now it has.
What are you fuckers talking about?
Our adult children and three oldest grandchildren cannot wait to be able to also watch it.
Gathering the family?
They were a bit disappointed when I told them that it is only available on Chilling App. Their phones do not support App. Hope it's available on TV channel soon.
If my grandpa, my grandparents do this all the time, where they're like, we watched a movie on Florby called Soldier.
No, they're watching Soldier, the Kurt Russell movie that's a spin-off of Blade Runner?
Called Soldier, Battle for Turkmenistan. Yeah. You really like it. I'm
Shoot
like,
Bastard is the famous.
Yeah, then I go, oh, great, I can't wait to watch that, and then I never do that.
Yeah. This is a real review from jbspins.com.
JB Smoove?
From JB Smoove, who was in The Sinner.
What's in The Sinner?
It says, I'm just reading one line. The Ozisms are as heavy as those of any David Lynch film.
What are you
But they always make sense within the narrative. And then, you know what? Because we did not actually say who was in this movie, let's just quick read off the cast and crew. It was directed by Daniel Alexander, and it was written by Daniel Alexander and Matthew R. Ford. And it stars Chloe Crump as Dorothy, or no, as, wait, the sequel's called Gale Yellow Brick Road? That's crazy, it's gonna combine the movie Yellow Brick Road.
Dude, what if it's a fucking cinematic universe? Dude, what if they go to the Yellow Brick Road?
They go, and you know, Teddy
and
shows
the theater
up,
and the...
Teddy's still watching the movie in the theater? That'd be fucked up, they have to do that, I'm so excited now. yeah, but it's Chloe Crump and Lori K. Bailey. Let's do thoughts for my siblings real quick. I skipped over that. Brian's being RoboCop for Halloween.
That's a good costume.
Yeah, you want to see a picture of it?
Yeah, sure. He had a good costume, I forget if it was last year, when it was Funky Kong.
Yeah, Funky Kong was last year. He made this so far for him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's That's like a little good. Chrome, yeah. Little helmet. And AJ, let's see what AJ's up to. AJ was sending me pictures of the cat. Look at this little cat.
That's a cat.
A little cat. I don't really know what AJ's up to right now, but AJ had to deal with me.
Probably going trick-or-treating.
Yeah, probably doing trick-or-treating, doing Halloween stuff. AJ had to deal with me texting them all about my escapades in Sacramento. So thanks for that, Egg. This podcast is sponsored by Eggs.
They're not expensive anymore, I guess.
They're free because of Bernie or Trump.
Because of Trump.
Trump made eggs free.
We're making the eggs free.
Thank you to that.
I'm going to hell and the eggs are free.
I love how he keeps talking about how he's going to hell. Heaven seems not for me.
I saw that clip. I didn't realize. Did you see what the question he was answering was?
What was it?
Peter Doocy, the like Fox News reporter, was like, you know, you solved the Middle East. Do you think that's going to get you into heaven? Which, like, what's he supposed to... Even if he said yes, that would be a weird thing to
yes,
say.
Yes, I'm going to heaven now. Yeah. I'm going now, I can see it.
I love that you can tell that just in that moment he's thinking back and he's like, no, I did that rape.
Yeah, and he's like, I stole all that money from those children. I killed that kid.
My dad was like a Klansman or something.
Well, anyway, thanks you to that Cheeto in the White House.
I forgot that's even a thing. Or I forgot. I keep forgetting. We keep almost forgetting that and then getting it in right at the end.
Now it's time for our most thoughtful segment. Chairs.
A discussion.
Chairs. Talking chairs.
Ozcast.
Yeah, I'm caught up.
Okay.
This is where we talk about the Tim Robinson and Zach Kanan original HBO Max Maxi series.
Maxi pads.
Okay. I watched an episode of Baggage once where...
the best show.
Where this lady was like, I clean my apartment with tampons and maxi pads. And that was the first time I'd heard the term maxi pads and I was like, what the hell?
Why would you do that? They're, like, kind of expensive, aren't they?
Yeah, and I mean, just, like, They're absorbent, but like, what are you doing to your house?
It's kind of the same as if you just used a paper towel, I would assume.
But like, what are you doing to your house that you need like hyper absorbent?
Menstruating all over it, I guess.
Free flowing, man. That's how it is.
I'm free.
Free flowing.
That's good.
That's going to be like one of those adult diaper ads. You know how they do like,
yeah.
It's like, Ozempic.
Yeah. But yeah, so we're talking chairs. Where to start.
All right, so episode two, we wrapped up episode one.
Episode
two and three, basically, I guess. First, I want to talk about allies and enemies. That's, I think, my kind of perspective on the show right now.
Sure.
So, W. Ron Trosper is investigating Tekka, the chair company, obviously. But, you know, in this, we're really not sure who's on his side and who's against.
That's very true.
So, you know, we talked about the wheelbarrow gentleman with the inside outdoor wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
He was obviously kind of an ambiguous character. Hasn't showed up again.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure whether or not he's going to be an ally or an enemy. But let's talk about Mike.
Mike is one of the most morally gray characters I've ever seen.
I don't even know how you would write and come up with a character so brilliant and genius.
Because at first, when you know, like, end of episode one,
Mike is there and he whacks him on the head with a bat.
End of episode one, you're assuming if this guy shows up again, he is going to kill Ron.
He's an enemy.
Yeah.
But then,
viewer beware.
It gets a little more complicated than that. This is not your normal. This is not 24. This is a more complicated. This is a real show.
This is real life.
This is real life.
You don't know who your friends are in real life. Sometimes it's the guy that whacked you fucking upside the head with a fucking pipe.
That's your best friend in the whole goddamn world, motherfucker. So he goes, he's doing a bit of investigation. And he finds the pipe, the shirt, and he's trying to run fingerprint analysis on it.
Yeah.
The fucking fingerprint. I love that he's a little hat.
I love that he pawns the hat off to his son. He's like, I got you this.
It's a little spy hat. And his son goes, I heard about these. Oh, God, it's so good. And he can't get the dust open, so he nixes that idea. But he goes and does a little bit more investigating, and he finds the leftovers of Mike.
Right.
Because he was watching him, and he goes, that pig left a sturdy food here.
I found your nest, you pig.
And then he traces him back to a diner.
Right.
Where he's trying, he has a shirt, and, well, okay, first of all, he figures out the pattern of the shirt.
Yeah, he figures out who made the shirt, and then he goes to the store where the shirt is sold.
There's a very interesting character. There's
the salesman.
And is a salesman an ally or an enemy?
I don't know. Because he does help Ron. He puts Ron onto Mike's trail with the shirt.
And he says, oh, this shirt was well loved. This is how he talked. I'm going to do the impression the whole time. Look at the back of the shirt.
Right.
There's some kind of dirt and white dust on here.
Yeah.
And look at the buttons. Some big belly was pushing up on all the buttons. And then, here's where it gets real interesting.
What does he pull out to demonstrate the shirt buttons being pulled by a big old belly? Nothing else but a red ball.
A red ball. Much like the red ball W. Ron Trosper saw at Tekka headquarters, which we theorized may have been an egg hatching smaller chairs. Or perhaps smaller red
balls. I don't think that's been ruled out yet, but we'll come to know the red ball more in episode 3, but it's interesting, the recurring red ball.
The recurring red ball. I'm keeping my eye out. And then he adds him to a group chat.
Right.
of members of the shirt company.
Yeah, like the VIP club of people who buy shirts there.
And he says, new blood, there's five Rons now. And that's where the name of the episode comes from. Oh, it's so good. But yeah, so then he finds the lunch. Well, okay, first of all, his boss sends Jamie, his assistant, with him to the interview, to a TV interview.
Right.
Is Jamie an ally or an enemy? It's very perplexing.
I think I'm going to give Jamie the I think the boss might be an enemy. I think the boss... My pet theory is that... what is the company he works for? Fisher-Robey?
Yeah, Fisher-Robey.
I believe that Fisher-Robey is probably a subsidiary of Red Bull Market Global.
Red Bull Market Global.
Which we'll get to more when we discuss episode 3.
The
parent company of Tekka.
But yeah, so I think his boss, and I'm not talking about Lou Diamond Phillips, who is plays Jeff Levgerman, who is the CEO.
I think the character's name is Rhonda or something.
Yeah, Rhonda sounds right. Brenda.
Brenda.
But Brenda's a little iffy here. Yeah. I don't know. Douglas.
Douglas is definitely an enemy.
Douglas is an enemy. But so he finds the diner where he's asking about Mike's shirt, and the security guard comes up to get him. And it's Mike.
What?
And then he freaks out on him. He totally freaks out. But then they reveal that he's just looking to find the guys who did this.
Mike is a fucking small fish in a big pond, just like Trosper.
Yeah, and Mike just got hired by somebody.
He doesn't even know who hired him.
He doesn't even know who
he is. That's how the CIA does this shit. That's
how Jim X does it.
That's exactly. It's Epstein all over again.
Yeah, and so then Mike and Ron team up.
Right.
To freaking get these guys. But Mike tries to give Ron a gun when he meets Jim X.
This is why I'm still suspicious of Mike, because I don't quite understand why he would be helping Ron.
Pursuit of goodness. And just looking for a friend in the world.
But this is a guy that beat somebody up with a lead pipe for $400.
Yeah.
I don't think this guy's like, you know what, it's time to switch up and do what's right. I don't know if he's a double agent or if he's just, maybe he thinks he can extort something out of the situation.
Well, here's the thing. At the end of the episode, of episode 2, we get a picture to Ron's burner phone. Yep. First of all, the burner phone, which he puts in a cup.
Yeah.
I think that's very interesting, because why would you put a phone in a cup? It's not really a traditional place for a phone to go.
My impression was that he was trying to hide it, but also I feel like that would, because if it vibrates or something, everybody would hear it and just put it in your pocket. No one's like, he's got a phone in his pocket. Who cares?
He's got two phones. One for the hose and one for the
check. Just like Kevin Gates.
But yeah, it's so then he gets a picture sent to his phone.
Right, we should say he at this moment he's playing Twister with
his family. Oh, he's playing Twister with his family. His daughter, played by Sophia Lillis, and his daughter's fiance, I want to say her name is Grace, but let me check.
I think her name is Grace.
Daughter, fiance, chair, company. Because, you know what, this is kind of a true Ozcast connection here, guys. The daughter's fiance is played by Grace Ryder, who... if you don't know her, you might recognize her from the American High Shorts Instagram channel, which I helped originate. They don't want you to know about this, but I was there day one, man. Day one,
got squeezed out.
I got freaking booted out from it. But she's an actress who was in this. And look, all I'm just saying is Ozcast is one step closer to the chair company.
That is, if we were playing 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon, that is like 3 degrees. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I also just know somebody who worked on a show.
Oh, okay. Well, that's even less.
But
degrees.
It was like a grip. It was like a grip on Law and Order.
Hey, I'll
like,
show you.
Yeah, it worked on the Jay Company.
But, yeah.
But, yeah. You know, we got connections. So, season 2, we'll be on.
We'll be on. Tim Robinson is one of the people. It's like him and Paul McCartney and like Northern Lion, where I think if I met them, I would be like, and Scorsese, where I'd be like, thank you for what you've done for me.
Yeah.
Genuinely, from like any other celebrity, I'd probably be like, I like your shit, or whatever.
Hey, man, I saw Rami Malek.
Why wouldn't you say hello to me, Rami Malek? Enemy of the pod, Rami Malek.
Well, like, I'd just be like, oh, that's cool as a celebrity. I met Bill Burr once. I was like, hey, Bill, I like, I'm yeah. big fan.
Dratch, obviously, would yeah. be a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, those are, like, the three where I'm like, I'd have to be like, let me shake your hand, sir.
Yeah, like, please, let me know what I can do for you. I would love to work for Tim Robinson. That'd be awesome. But, yeah, so, all right, we're spending too long on right. chairs, but...
We got to do the big three. Thing is he yeah. gets a text on his phone while they're playing Twister, and it's a picture of him taken from within his own house. End of episode.
Oh my god. Do we save episode 3 for
Let's
next
Let's save
time?
It. Let's save it.
There's too much to talk about.
Plus, then we'll have more time to think about stuff. Yeah. Plus, we'll have seen episode 4 by then, too, so we can
yeah.
fit the pieces together.
Smutter what? 20?
This is Smutter What 20, folks. Big fucking
big smut. And it's still Kinktober.
It is Kinktober. I did not do Kinktober prompts. What I did for this Smutter What is Halloween edition.
Ooh, because this movie is... I mean, this episode's coming out on Halloween.
Each of these stories has a classic movie ghoul or goblin Ooh. Or monster in it. Let's start with the first one, Hieroglyphics. The mummy has awoken, and he is horny.
Oh, God.
The shambling corpse of the former high priest Imhotep searches for a hole to relieve thousands of years of building semen. Luckily for the monster, he is awoken during All Hallows' Eve. As he wanders the streets of modern Cairo, people compliment his costume. One of them, a bewitching woman dressed as Cleopatra. They talk a bunch and eventually end up at the woman's apartment. She unravels the mummy's bandages to find, obviously, a rotting corpse, but she's tantalized
Ooh.
By this disgusting hunk of flesh in front of her. She gets down on her knees and begins to touch the mummy's member, but the tip snaps off like a petrified branch on a tree. Realizing that she has to be more gentle, she uses her mouth to moisturize the tip, and the tip's off, but the rest of the shaft, and then the mummy comes in her mouth. Our next story.
All right.
Adam's apple.
Ooh, I know what this is about.
What, you want to take a guess?
Frankenstein!
Yes, this is a Frankenstein fan fiction. This
fan loyal fiction... listeners will know that right. that Frank the Frankenstein's monster is named Adam Frankenstein. Right. So when you say... Frankenstein, could be referring to Victor Frankenstein or his son, Adam Frankenstein.
This fan fiction takes place during the famous scene between him and the old blind hermit in the Hermit's
Oh, thank
shack.
God, I thought it was going to be the little girl.
No.
I was so worried.
This is told from the monster's point of view. After the monster is taken in by the blind old hermit, the two become more than just friends. The two drink brandy together and dine. The monster laments that the hermit's penis hasn't been touched in quite some time and begins to slowly masturbate the old man's member. Eventually, the old man comes on the monster's own penis and he goes into like a poem about cum.
Ugh.
Our last one. Sex, please.
Sex. Hey, sex, please.
After Bela Lugosi has been murdered, it's up to Detective Gilman, a creature from the Black Lagoon, to solve the case. Bela Lugosi's life partner, Boris Karloff...
Oh, that's cute. I like that, actually.
...sobs on the detective's shoulder. When Gilman is looking over the case, he begins to think about Boris and Bella's relationship, lamenting that he doesn't have a partner of his own. Gilman has been rejected by almost every romantic interest he pursued, including Grindr. He was a 45-year-old fish virgin. Desperate, he decides to pay a sex worker to finally lose his virginity. Gilman books a male prostitute by the name of Lawrence Talbot, otherwise known as the Wolfman.
Oh!
Talbot was a large man and was excited about the idea of having sex with a fish creature that was even larger than he was. He fantasized about wiping off the creature's slime and using it to lubricate his hole. Gilman finally showed up to Talbot's hotel room, and the two begin with a passionate kiss. The creature's lips taste briny and kelp-like. The creature then begins to suck on the Wolfman's nipples, all six of them. As Talbot reaches for the creature of the Black Lagoon's fly, the fanfiction ends.
Wow. Okay, here's my thought process. You've been watching a lot of classic monster movies of late.
Yep.
So it could be the one where there's a whole bunch of classic monsters with Bella and Boris and, you know, Lon Chaney or whatever. I know it wasn't Lon Chaney in that one, but...
The Wolfman is played by Lon Chaney. So
yeah.
Technically, right.
But it could also be the Frankenstein one. I'm not really feeling the first one, although it is funny that she bit the tip of his dick off. And I don't know, that could be you as well. It's a fucking crapshoot here. But I'm gonna go that the third one is bait. The third one, you want me to get to that point. I'm going with the first one.
The
mummy one.
Wow. Dylan has nailed Smutter One.
Yes!
I cannot believe you got that one. I thought you were gonna fall for the fucking the Creature from the Black Lagoon one, hook, line, and sinker.
I had to think through it.
That is you got it. That was my exact thought process. I found that one. And I was like, surely he's gonna think it's this fucking absurd like detective noir story where the fucking creature from the Black Lagoon gets sucked off by the Wolfman.
Yeah, but then it was the biting the penis off. I was like, would anyone enjoy having their penis bitten off? And I was just like, yes, but I just think it's something that would come from you.
Wow, Dylan's on a hot streak.
I'm back. I'm the Smut King.
His record is up to 7-13.
I'm back. I'm the Smut King.
That concludes Smutter What 20.
All right, now we are running a little long in the tooth. Yeah. I don't know. I think chairs and this back-to-back took up some time. Yeah. So, real quick, you had a gift?
I do.
Because I do
as
well.
It's not huge, but I do have
something. Is it that bag of mitts?
No. Yeah, it's a bag of mitts. Why do we bring a bag of mitts?
Because we're going to play catch.
It's Halloween, so...
Oh, it's a little sticker?
It's a little sticker of a scary clown.
Oh, no, it's not terrifying.
That's from, a tattoo parlor.
Place. I have a gift as well.
Wow.
It's this.
What the fuck? What is this? Bitty Pop. It's like very small Pop Funkos and they're minions?
Yeah, they're Halloween minions.
They're Halloween minions? Are these... Why are they acting like it's mystery? I can
No, there's
see
one
them.
More. Oh, there's four one. Of them.
Let's see what the mystery pop is.
Yeah, I've had this in my pocket the whole show.
This is quite big.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
I probably thought it was your phone or something. Oh, wow. Oh, they really
it's wrapped
up?
In black.
The mystery one is quite,
don't want you
quite
to
a
see
mystery.
Him.
What the fuck?
It came out of the box. Oh, it's a little banana.
It's King Bob from Minions.
Who are the other three? The other three is Creature from the Black Lagoon Mel.
Creature from the Black Lagoon Mel.
Bride of Frankenstein Kevin.
Great.
And Franken Bob.
How much was this?
Like a dollar? No, it was like $5. It was $8.
At Marshall's.
Got this like a month ago. Yeah, look. I mean, this one, I don't dislike this one, actually.
I like Bride of Frankenstein a lot. I do. Right? I do love these movies, and I have been watching them a
and
lot.
And it's very funny to have them as minions.
Yeah, that's kind of what's pissing me off, is if they were just little mini versions of them, I'd be like, oh, these are really cool. I'm going to put these on my car or something, but... I don't know what to do with minion versions of that.
You can take them out of the box, too. I don't know if that helps or hurts at all.
I don't know.
Well, this is your payback for giving me the Rick and Morty still toys. Oh, look, this is like a stand you can keep
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah, so this has been a great segment of The Wizard's Gift.
Oh, my God, yeah. All
right, let's crack open a cookie.
Let's blow this pop stand.
You want to eat some attackies?
No. Is that box a Dean?
No, it says Dylan.
I didn't look.
I didn't
look. Right. Oh, wait, we got a mute button. Where is it? Is this it?
You don't have to mute it.
But we can now. Also, but mic has been backwards this whole time.
No, not really. I mean...
Why didn't the mute button work? Or it did? Why are they still picking shit up? They still picked up.
I don't know about that at all. Clarity in decision making is in your future. He eats them every time. He knows they're stale.
The journey of personal growth is in your future.
Yeah, well, we're both making... It's both about our future.
Maybe in my future, I'll be in a fucking dumb Oz movie.
Maybe I'll be clearer about what our new segment is. I don't know.
These are the stalest thing I've ever eaten in my life.
Stop eating the fortune cookie.
It's a waste.
They're a year old.
It's a waste if I don't eat them.
You know what it's time for?
Is it time for our
wickedly talented performance of the week?
That was good. That was spot on.
You want to go first?
Sure. Honestly, I haven't been watching that many good movies lately. I kind of ran through all the good Universal horror movies, so now I'm just doing like shitty 50s schlock. I guess I'm going to give it to Marlon Brando on The Island of Dr. Moreau. Have you ever seen that?
I haven't, but I know. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody sucks in it, but he wears like a trash can on his head and a muumuu and he's fucking fat.
Wasn't that like one of his last movies?
Yeah, like I think it was like his last movie.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's it. Island of fucking Marlon Brando.
The Island of Marlon Brando. I just want to be like Marlon. Be like Marlon Brando. That's Rusty Crowe sings that song.
Right.
He's looking intently at Creature
Male.
They're
fucking like dog shit too. Like their faces are all fucked up. Like they're painted so shittily.
Oh, I'm so excited to give this to you. my wickedly talented performance of the week, I think, is gonna go to Mia Goth and Pearl.
Oh, okay.
A movie that a lot of people are like, this is the Wizard of Oz. In fact, I even saw a comment on this should have been in Osmond's, but
I guess she does have kind of a Dorothy thing going on.
But I saw a comment that says Oz the Great and Powerful 2013, Wizard of Oz 1939, Marvelous Land of Oz 1981. Return to Oz 1985.
Is this the rankings?
Pearl 2022. This was on the trailer for this, Gale.
What?
Yellow Brick Road. I don't know what this was about. I guess he was just listing Oz movies.
Because it's not in like chronological order, so you would assume it would be like his personal rankings, but who the fuck would have Oz the Great and Powerful above Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was just movies he remembered? Or movies he had seen?
I don't know.
But yeah, so
that's good. I liked Pearl. I liked
it. I thought Mia Goth's performance was really good.
Yeah, I haven't seen Maxine yet, but yeah, I did. I had some problems with the movie, but no, I did really like
it. I did as well, but I think she has a really good performance.
Yeah,
I feel like Corin Sweat Superman is in it, and he puts a big hat on at one point.
Right.
Quite charming. Well, that about wraps up Ozcast 24.
Right. Thank you, Tim Robinson.
Thank you.
Thank you, the guy who plays Douglas.
Thank you to the guy who plays Douglas, whose name is...
Thank you to Conan. Last name, O'Brien.
That's his first name.
You looked
name.
Up chair.
Remember when I looked up...
Oz Retreat? Thank you to Jeffrey Epstein.
No, don't.
Thank you to David Lynch.
Thank you to Jim Downey.
Jim Downey.
For being on SNL and
for
also
creating
Chair
fucking
Company.
Bleach or detergent.
What?
What is Downey?
Oh, yeah. There's a little bear on it. Thank you to Paddington Bear.
Thank you to whoever still makes marmalade.
Thank you to Marlon Brando.
Props, Brando. Baller ass move to make a movie where you're a fat old man and you wear a trash can on your head and then die right after.
Did you see Sabrina Carpenter said thank you to Lorne?
Well, yeah,
I sent
that's they say that at the end of every SNL episode.
Come on.
That's why
where'd they take it from?
No, we took that from them.
No, I don't think so. I don't know about that. I think they took it from us.
Thank you, Lorne.
Thank you, Lorne. this ends Oztober. I hope you enjoy the spooky Oz stuff this month. Next month we'll be getting into, maybe we'll do some books.
Okay, yeah.
I think it's book time, and I want
to. We should get some guests too. Maybe we'll get a guest who hasn't read the book, and we'll mansplain it to them.
And Wicked comes out next month.
Right. I still have to watch the first one.
And maybe we'll do the first episode of Wicked.
Yeah.
And then we'll do kind of a two-parter. You know, I've got some people lined up who want to be on Ozcast, so maybe we'll give them a spot.
Right.
Chance to shine.
Chief among them, the Pope.
Oh, I love the White Sox!
Can't believe we got two woke popes. Two whopes, if you will.
And if you're confused as to why the Pope is woke now, and why we elected a Pope from Chicago, just remember, do yourself a favor, watch the movie Conclave, first of all. Prescient, that came out a year ago.
I still gotta watch Conclave.
And then just remember, folks, it's Oztober, and you're listening to Ozcast with Dylan and Andre, the fastest growing Wizard of Oz themed comedy podcast in the entire tri-state area.
That's a good podcast, a codcast. It's about fish.
Yeah, Fishcast, Codcast. Nice to fish you. And if you're confused as to why we only did one video episode, just remember, folks, it's Ozcast. You're not bloody supposed to get it.
Changing your fate? What is
this? If you could change your Oz, would ya?
Alright, bye.
Alright, you wanna watch a movie?
Ozcast is created and produced by Foolishness Media. Foolishness Media. We take silly seriously.